Let's finish it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Ay, coming in, yeah. Flex, I just wanna win, yeah. LA BB, who we running with, yeah. 2-2-3-3, I'm on 10 again. Yeah, state your name.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of The Closing Pitch. My name is Spiker Helms, and this is a show about people, culture, and how to create a winning lifestyle. Today is actually Friday for us. If you're listening to this, it is October 16th, and we're at the very tail end of our day. So we are about to head home, but we wanted to record one more podcast before we left the office. I just love what our setup is right now. It's better than what it used to be. If you go back, I'm trying to film everything. By the way, I forgot to press record. Dave, can you please take over while I press the record button on our camera?
So this setup is so far away from what we started with. What did we start this? 6 months ago? About 6 months ago, we started this with just a table, a little sheet over the table, couple mics, couple laptops in front of us, and go. And now we're in a whole different facility in what we would consider our podcast studio / conference room. We even got a big old TV up here that we're linking a computer to. We got, what do you call these things, arms that control the microphone?
Yep. I mean, and I'm trying to get back onto the filming aspect of it, because we want to post this on social media. We got away from that just because of the move, and Dave and I were coaching this summer, so it wasn't really advantageous for us to actually film the podcast.
Nobody wanted to see the film in the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. another hint, Holiday Inn. Please
on,
give us some type of sponsorship
throw
money.
Some ad money, dude. At least a free room. Come on.
The people of Markley, yes, another one. they're buying into everything we do now. But I mean, they have such great commercials. Yeah. I love the marketing manager or the creative, whoever controls that is very, very good at it. So, but anyways, in this episode, I want to introduce to people someone that I've followed since I was in college. And a lot of people don't know who he is because he's on the money side of things. And his name is Ray Dalio. He wrote a book about 4 or 5 years ago that was monumental when it comes to the financial world, if you're interested in finance, mm-hmm. but also it was really into mindset. And it was, he equated it to kind of like Marcus Aurelius. I forgot what Marcus Aurelius's book was. I think it was like Poems or something like that.
Was the guy who was the leader of Rome, right?
Yes. Okay. And he wrote a book. And it was basically giving you an outline of best practices to live your life. It's okay. A stoic mentality.
Cool.
But Ray Dalio is doing the same thing here. He was trying to give some type of life experience, what he's found out to be very good and very bad. And what's interesting about him is he's not like a Warren Buffett, where Warren has been pretty consistent through. He's never lost. Like, it seems like he always wins. Ray has been a guy that I'm not. Like, I know the guy, Mr. Dalio.
First name basis.
Yeah, we're on
no
first
big
name
deal.
Basis. I follow
first name
him
basis
social
with
media.
A billionaire. No
it.
Big deal.
I read his book, so I mean, exactly. But he is someone that has bet big, speculated big, and actually lost big, and then he's able to regain everything and get back to where he was at a very high level. And this guy is just—he's very, very good at what he does. So he's a hedge fund manager, and I'm going to play this clip for you, and then we are going to get our takes on it. Here it is.
Success is a 5-step process. First, you have to know what you're going after, your goals. Then you encounter your problems. Number 2, you encounter your problems on the way to your goals. Then you have to diagnose those problems and get at the root causes of those problems. And that might be a weakness that you have or a weakness that somebody has, but you better get at the root cause. And then once you got the root cause, then you can design something. You write down on your to-do list, I got to do this thing. That's number 4, design. And then number 5, you got to do it.
Yes, sir.
You just can't say, okay, now I'm going to do that thing and not push through to results. And if you could do that over and over, that's a formula for success. You only have to do those 5 things, you got the formula for success.
That is toughness at its core. If you talk about a process to be tough, have that grit, that those five steps, and I couldn't consciously give that verbatim in my career. If someone asked me what makes you successful and able to get over the hump and get to your dream, which for me was Division I baseball, playing in a top 50 program, competing at the highest level, being surrounded by guys that were going to go to Major League Baseball. Obviously, I wanted to go play professional and possibly knock on the door of Major League Baseball, but ultimately be known in a big program. That was one of my goals. And reading this after I read Principles and then landing on this on TikTok, that's how I found it. If anyone's wondering, I landed this on TikTok, and I think that a lot of people don't know the process or the rules of engagement when it comes to being tough. Everyone gets really mad. You hear this in a narrative for a lot of tough people. They're like, oh, you're a snowflake. You're soft. Well, that's great that you're calling me soft. That's great that you're calling me a snowflake. But how do I actually get tough? Because I think at the core, people want to be known as someone that breaks down barriers, someone that is being able to stand tall, if you may. And this right here, set goals, notice your mistakes, understand why you're making those mistakes, fix your mistakes. And the fifth one, perseverance.
Well, it really is a it's a recipe, like he says, for success to go forward. I think it's something that most successful people, whether it's in the sport of baseball, softball, business, anything, it's something that they continuously do. It's like it's a revolving door. You just continuously do this. And sometimes you get so good at it, you don't even really know you're doing it. Like, you don't have to remind yourself, okay, step two, notice your mistakes. Step one, set goals. You don't even have to remember it. It's just, you do it. It's how you tackle projects. It's how you tackle anything. I mean, you know, it's just what you do. It's in your DNA and it's ingrained now.
It's a lifestyle. And here's the thing is that the best people that are able to execute this at a very high level in big time projects, they're pretty special, but don't mistake it. They have their problems. There's some things that they struggle with this and being able to execute on. One good example of this for me and Dave was yesterday. what did we do yesterday? And some people will be like, why are you doing that? That is beneath your title as a director and as a person that is building a national program.
It sucked. I hated it. We put together the very chairs that we're sitting in right now. Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. I absolutely cannot stand that process. I get overly frustrated. My wife laughs at me. We just recently moved into our house about 4 months ago, and we were putting together furniture and everything, and I got so frustrated, so I can't stand this
stuff. I don't think anyone likes doing that.
No, but I am real bad at it. Like, there should be something else that, like, some other people should be able to do this. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But
again, it's not beneath us because we have to build our office. That's one thing why we keep on talking about it, because we appreciate it, because we've built the things that are around this office.
Yeah,
obviously, we didn't
for sure
build the walls and everything like that and put the whole building up. But we're doing the minute stuff, the minor stuff that people might think, oh, that's beneath you. You shouldn't do that.
No.
And why I'm pointing this out was during that time of making this chair, I was so freaking frustrated with the screws. It got to a point where I literally wanted to throw this chair out into the parking lot and say, we're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what kept on ringing in my ear was, if you let this go, what else are you going to let go? What's the thing that you do in your actual job that you end up letting it go off to, the wayside?
Well, it's small details. Everything matters. Whether you know it or not, every single little thing matters. And building chairs, doing the podcast, everything that you do, it matters. And when I look at these five goals from Ray, what I always think is most people, when they see somebody successful, or say they see a business that's very successful or a team that's really good, they're like, man, how do I get there? How do I become that person? How do I become that team? How do I become that business? And the hardest thing for people to do is understand how to simplify to get there, right? They think it's some big complicated formula. They think that, oh man, they're either that much smarter than me, or they're that much just more together with it, or they're that much more talented. And it's really not that. It's that they've just understood a simple principle on how to simplify everyday type tasks and goals into like what Ray's done with these five tasks, right? How many times, like in this, he's a billionaire, right?
Yes.
I mean, I did not know who this guy is before you mentioned him today. But obviously, he's done this over and over a few times, millions of times, okay? That's all he's done. Is every if I had to ask him, I bet he'd say this answer. He'd say every task or every goal that I've ever set, it's just I got to go through these five-step processes. And then all of a sudden, I set my goals. I notice my mistakes. I understand what I'm making or why I'm making those mistakes. I fix it, and then I tackle it head on. And I do it over and over until I accomplish that goal, and then I set another one, and then another one, and then another one. And it just keeps adding up.
And I will point this out, that some people might verbally say, oh, this is my goal. For me, it's a little bit different. I'm more of on the creative side, and I think about it, and I keep on chewing on it, and then I write it down, and then I kind of write a story around it, and then I end up attacking it. So understand that Ray is in the financial world. So numbers are his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with numbers people and analytic people, they like to think in step-by-step processes. They love being in a processes-oriented
phase. That's me. That's exactly how I am.
So you might not be a person that writes down their goals. You might be a person that thinks about their goals, chews on it, then writes a story on it. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know how you approach it. But don't forget that you have to create these goals. You have to be setting this big achievement in your head, because the journey is the most important thing. Because if you feel like you've arrived, you're not in a good situation. You don't have that inner drive, that journeyman mentality, because that's for human nature. Just so everyone knows, this is how marketers market. They are trying to get you to be on a journey, and they try to get you on that journey that's inside their product. Now put marketing aside, what is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you want to do? You have to be a journeyman. You have to thrive on these five steps. Because if you're able to feel like you're going on these five steps, set your goals, notice your mistakes, understand why you're making those mistakes, fix your mistakes, persevere, and then redo it again, you're going to end up being in the spot that you've always imagined that you want to be in.
You're stacking wins. Yes. We talk about it all the time. We're trying to stack wins here. That's all we're trying to do every day. I'm going to try to stack as many wins as I possibly can again. And then tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. Then the next day I'm going to do the same thing, on and on and on and on. Because we talked about it in a previous podcast. It's process over instant results. We're not necessarily worried about the instant results. We're not worried about what's happening in the now. We're worried about what's happening in the future. And if I continuously go through these five steps and I continuously stack win after win after win after win, you know, Andy Frisella has his 1,000-day model, right? Which I love. He's like, you're doing this for the next 1,000 days to get to where you want to be. And that's really cool, because I don't think people who are process oriented like this, who continuously go through this five-step process over and over and over, you look back in 1,000 days and you're like, whoa, how am I here now? This is crazy. Because you're constantly kind of stuck in, not the struggle, but the day-to-day life, right?
Well, it's like Shannon showed us that picture. I don't know if she showed it to you.
Yeah, the Facebook one that she put out?
No, the one where we're sitting at a table in the Baldwin location around that little crappy ass table, which was that you could spin, and we're literally in this small little space. I'm bald. You still have your Under Armour polo that you're still wearing. it's orange. You're wearing a gray one right now. But anyways, okay. If you didn't know this, Dave is sponsored by Under Armour. Man, we need to stop giving away our sponsorships for free.
I'm in like my total golf outfit today. Comfy clothes.
And Aaron has a polo on, but literally we're stuffed in this small little space that is the front desk of Baldwin, and Baldwin is a very small location, but it does a lot of good things for us when it comes to producing and developing players. That we were sitting there, and that was the very start of the regional program, the very beginnings of us being at the national level. That's where it all starts, that you're going to get to a point where you have a starting point, and you can't be like this grand big thing like, oh, it has to begin this way. It has to start this way. No, just start.
Just do it.
And then start making those goals. Then make mistakes. Find out what those mistakes are. Persevere. Redo it. Go back all the way through the circle again. How many times did in this regional and national program, we're still auditing ourselves. There's still things that we're trying to get better at. You have to. And now we are in a 20,000 square foot facility. We have an actual conference room, and we can now have a dedicated podcasting space. How crazy is that?
It's pretty crazy.
And I remember the day when we sat after that meeting, we went to Joey B's restaurant here in St. Louis, eating lunch, and it felt like this was a dream.
Yeah.
How could you take...
Well, you wondered how could you get there?
Yeah. How could you take a baseball club in St. Louis, have the process that we have, and then expand it out nationally, and then being able to create a structure around it? That's a very lofty goal. That is an audacious goal. This is exactly what Ray is talking about. You have to have an audacious goal. And you've got to be able to attack it. What a lot of people do is either A, they don't have those goals. B, they set those goals, but then they get distracted by a shiny object. And they keep on getting distracted by a shiny object. Or they get to the point where it ends up being a very hard road. They realize that they've gotten hit to a barrier. They're like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
Stop.
You've just stopped at number three. You still have two more left. You have 4 and 5. People don't get past 3.
You know where I think most people stop in this scenario? 5. The just do it section.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to set goals. That is a very easy thing. Most people can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It you know, you have dreams, you have aspirations. It's real simple to do that. Number 2, noticing your mistakes. Okay, I can be self-reflective. I can look back and I can be like, yeah, I messed that up in the past and I'm not very good here, etc. Okay, I can say that. Pretty easy. 3, understanding why you're making those mistakes. That's harder. That probably takes a little bit of asking around. You might want to ask a coworker or a player that you're playing with and ask for some honest feedback. Why do you think I keep messing up? Why do you think I'm doing this? Okay. Gets a little harder. 4, fixing those mistakes. Being honest with yourself and being able to literally say, okay, I need to make a change. I need to now change and go in this route when I was in a total different route. That gets a lot harder. But 5, the persevere, the just do it, creating action, that is the single-handedly hardest thing for most people to do.
They don't want the rejection.
They don't want failure.
And I'm guilty of this because when I first started, I was in the financial world. That's a very tough and cruel world. Getting the rejection is not fun. Even going after a college sport, like God bless these players that want to attack this thing, because you're going to get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to, the whole movie plot of came out of nowhere. Everyone's like, holy smokes, this kid's unbelievable. That is a 1%. That's 1%. That's even probably even less than 1%. You are not a movie. You are a human being that's trying to attack a goal. You're going to get people that don't like you. You don't have people that don't like you, you're not doing something.
And it's just simply putting yourself out there is a scary thing. It's hard. When you're doing something new that you've never done before, again, we've talked about it, it's hard, it's scary, it's difficult, you're going to fail, it's almost guaranteed. And for most people, and I don't care what space you're talking about, that is a deterrent. That is something that is going to stop them in their tracks because it's an uneasy feeling. You don't like it. I guarantee it, right? Nobody likes that situation. I've never once heard someone say, man, I love doing new things and failing. It's real cool. I've never heard that. Have you?
I don't like doing that.
Nobody does. But the best people in the world, the most successful people in the world, have gotten real comfortable with trying. They will try just about anything. And if they fail, it's so what? Off their shoulder. Who cares? Guess what? Give me something new. Let's try something new. Oh, this task, you want me to go do that? You want me to try something that I've never, ever done before? Let's do it. I'm in. If they and they're really, really good at doing that if they see a value in it. If they see something that's going to bring them return, if they see something, well, and that doesn't have to be a monetary side of things. It could be just a return on your life. Oh, this is going to make me a better person, or this is going to bring more enjoyment to my life. Whatever it might be, they're really good at seeing that. And then once they see that value, that return, they're all in on it. They don't care what the task is. They're going to do it. And they're not scared of failure. They're not scared of anything else. And once they achieve it, then they're going to go on to the next step.
Steve Jobs has a really good point of view when it comes to business, but I think you can apply this to the beginning part of the culture for, I'm going to talk more on males, the male side of things. Steve Jobs says not many people like to ask. They don't want to ask, and they don't ask the right questions. Some people will ask, but they're like stupid ass. Like they're just random ask because they're just wanting to get a question out there. Having a very targeted approach, asking the right question, being able to start the conversation. That's what he was really getting at. Not many people like to start the conversation. And this was back in the 80s. Now imagine what it is now. You have this computer in your pocket. Next thing you know, it's probably going to be in our brains. But so many people don't know how to interact with somebody in real life. And how I know this is the male culture right now, which we're going down a pretty deep path here, is that not many males know how to approach a girl and give the ask. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a small percentage. And for me, that's a little scary. They don't know how to start a conversation with a girl, which I think is a very important thing for them to understand at some point, especially with their friends too.
Mm-hmm.
Peer to peer. We need to get back to that basic type of culture, that thing of starting the conversation, knowing how to get rejected, knowing how to have empathy for somebody, knowing how to notice something small on somebody's outerwear and say, I really love that. That looks amazing on you. I love what you did with your hair. Do you know how many people would separate you? Knowing someone's name, being able to say that name in a conversation with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's very disappointing, and this is why I love the Tommy Woods of the world, the mm-hmm. Dexter Swims of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And these are two players that we've had, and we've had them on previous podcasts. And there's a number of other players in this organization that have that. They have that mentality. They know how to talk to people. That is a huge advantage for young people to understand. If they know how to have a conversation, if they know basic human nature, they are going to fly through their life. We need to get back to that. That will help us with this and will help them be successful when they reach outside of this game or outside of high school. Because when you're out of high school,
it's on you.
It's on you.
You don't have parents. You don't have that support system.
You don't have
out
a
there.
Safeguard.
Nope.
You don't have a safeguard. What are you going to do? This is the scariest part. When you are done with high school or you're done with college and you come out, what's your next step?
For most people, they don't know.
They don't even teach that in high school or college.
Mm-mm.
They don't. My mom and dad put that right on the writing. Right on the wall. What's your next step? Well, I'm going to play pro ball. What's your next step after that? They kept on pushing that envelope when I was young. What's your next step? What are you going to do?
And that in here with the five goals, right?
Set goals, notice your mistakes, understand why you're making those mistakes, fix your mistakes, perseverance.
Done over and over again.
Over and over and over again. Now, understand, guys, Am I sitting here on a high pedestal and talking down to you? No. I have struggled with these. I have struggled with talking with girls at times. I ran hot and cold during that. So understand that we're not talking down on you. I'm just wanting to put this out in the open as there is a serious issue here. We need to have more people that are able to have those conversations and being able to know how to do these five steps.
Well, I think it's not talking down to you. I think it's talking with you. That's what I want this to be about. I want this to be something that, you know, we're 230-somethings, okay? We're not long-term established guys who have been here forever. We're just trying to pass along information that we've learned to help you out. And this five-step process is something that I go through on a daily process. Like every day I do it, okay? I actually did this without even knowing I did it. Okay, I didn't know these five steps. I mean, you know about them, but I didn't know this exact stuff before you brought this up to me today. But it's something that you do every single day with as menial tasks as putting together a chair or a big project for the business, or whether I was in my career of understanding where I wanted to get to as a pitcher. You do this over and over and over and over. And again, you're going to fail with it. You're going to learn with it. But that's the beauty of it, is it's always evolving. But it's always these. If you can learn how to simplify into these five easy, not easy, I'm sorry. If you can learn how to simplify into these five steps, no matter what the dialogue, no matter what the situation, it's going to help. It's going to keep you on that correct track upwards rather than just being stagnant and not really understanding, spin your wheels.
When you get to an older age group and you start getting into the sports, I think naturally the game does this for you. As a coach, as a mentor, as a parent, I would really talk about this. I would really put it out in the open, because the player is going to start realizing, oh, I do see those. Huh. That makes a lot more sense now. So I set my goals. I noticed my mistakes. Now, why am I making those mistakes? And then I fix my mistakes.
It could be as simple as this. Okay, I'm hitting at the bottom of the lineup, but I want to be a middle of the lineup hitter, okay? So now my goal is I want to be a 3 or 4 hitter, okay? Why am I not as a 3 or 4 hitter? Why am I an 8 or 9 hitter? Oh, because I'm doing this with my swinger. I don't have enough bat speed, or I'm not getting on base enough. Okay, so there's my mistakes. Now, understand why am I making those mistakes? Oh, well, maybe I have some sort of hole in my swing. Maybe I am swinging at the wrong pitches. Maybe I'm not going about my approach correctly, et cetera. Okay, good. Now I go to a coach, or I go to someone who understands those situations.
Or I train on my own.
Or I train on my own.
Or I search Twitter. Or I search Instagram.
And I learn how to fix that. I learn how to get my approach better. I know how to now change my swing a little bit. Boom. Then I go out and do it. I prove to the coach that, man, this guy's really been working. Look at him barrel the ball up a little bit more. He's doing better and better and better. All of a sudden, I go on a hot streak. I'm, you know, 19 for my last 40, and now I'm hitting in the 3-hole.
It only takes 2 to 3 weeks to really get on a hot streak to end up changing a huge decision.
And that's just a simple That's just a simple example of how it's applied in baseball terms, but this can be applied anywhere. It can literally be applied anywhere. That's the beauty of this. I really like that.
Guys, if you are interested in Ray Dalio, Google his name. He's a very, very interesting guy. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos on him. He's been more out in the open in years past. Check out his book, Principles. I absolutely loved it. It's a little bit of a tougher read. I would say it's a medium read. Sometimes it gets into a little boring, but there are a lot of good ideas and thoughts in there that you can take. So check out his book. I'm not getting paid for this. Another sponsorship.
Dude, we got to start collecting on this.
Ray, Under Armour and Holiday Inn. They owe us big dollars, man.
I'm drinking a core water right now.
Wow. Why'd you even get, that's four people. All right. My closing pitch is this. You know what? I don't have a closing pitch. It's to get better at those five goals.
Simplify.
Five steps.
Five steps. Simplify everything. Keep those five steps in mind. Do it over and over. Try and stack wins. It's going to work.
Guys, that is this episode of The Closing Pitch. My name is Spiker Helms. Across from me is David Berkby. We are two directors at the Rawlings Tigers. We also give lessons and teach as well. But Dave is on the sales side. I'm more on the marketing side. But we are glad that you are with us. Give us a subscribe if you are a new listener. If you're a repeat listener, give us a review, 5 stars preferably. We are not podcasting people at all. This is literally a side gig for us. We want to create this culture around this podcast that is informative, also opens up conversation, and shares new ideas. So if you love to subscribe to those three thoughts, give us a subscribe. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
See ya.
Thank you for watching or listening or both to The Closing Pitch. If you'd like to get your closing pitch featured on the show, we use a podcasting app called Anchor where you can submit your statement or question via audio. Or what you can do is comment in the comment section of this post. We also accept direct messages. Please give us the A-OK if you do send us a DM to use your statement or question on the show. Last thing, please give us a review on your platform of choice. 5-star preferably, and we value your opinion, and this allows us to reach more people. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.